So as Pastor Andrew said, we are just dedicating our service to White Ribbon Day today. And White Ribbon Day is in recognition of the national campaign, which is Australia-wide, national. And it's really focused on urging men to speak out against domestic violence. So the focus is on you guys with White Ribbon. I mean, it's for all of us, but it really calls on guys to stand up and speak out against it. Amen. I just before I start, I just want to say that we will obviously be discussing domestic violence this morning, and you know, we'll be hearing some stuff, we'll be seeing some stuff. So, you know, if you're in any way triggered, please, you know, don't feel obligated to have to stay through that. And we've got our beautiful Joanne. Where are you, Jo? Oh, she's gone to the bathroom. But she'll be back, and she's going to be up the back. And when she comes back in, I'll get her to put her hand up so we all know who Jo is. If you need to talk to someone or just get some support. Amen? Is that okay? Awesome. Ha. You know, church, I love that I'm part of a church that that really is passionate about our community and is passionate about social justice and things that are really close to God's heart. Amen? And, you know, on White Ribbon Day, I really love that our senior pastor is one who does speak out against domestic violence. And so does a lot of awesome guys in our church. Amen? Yeah, it's fantastic, and I love that. I love that this is something that is close to the heart of our senior pastors and so many other awesome guys in our church. I just love that. And that's pretty special. You need to know that. But before I go any further, I'm going to invite a beautiful young woman in our church to come up, and she's going to share a testimony. And I just really want you to encourage her, because you know, it's not easy to get up here and give a testimony about your personal life. So I'm going to invite the beautiful Barbara. So let's really encourage her, church, and let's welcome her as she comes up.
Hi. I'm so used to seeing all of you from back, so it's nice to see your faces instead. My name is Barbara, and it's the first time I get to speak in public and share my story. thank you. Okay, so I came over here as a 20-year-old mother. I had a little boy, and I come from a country where domestic violence is an everyday thing. It's quite normal to hear a woman crying down the road being beaten up by her husband. So I remember my ex being Australian. I thought, hey, look, I'm lucky. I get to be with an Australian that can look after me and protect me and in a country where I feel safe. I did not expect what I stepped into. It started off very subtle. 2 weeks after being in the country, we got our own apartment, and he said to me, this is your home, fix it. You know, change the cutlery drawers, change the furniture if you like, this is your home. So I changed the cutlery drawers, and the next thing I know, I was in a corner being yelled at for changing the cutlery drawers. I was petrified. I couldn't speak. I had no voice. I had no strength. I had no courage. This girl that my father has raised to be strong, outspoken, defensive, sometimes loud, I genuinely had no strength. I was numb. I was genuinely numb. So a couple of weeks went by, and same thing. My baby woke up early, so I took him out and I'm playing with him in the living room. And come 12 o'clock, he comes out yelling, be quiet, I'm sleeping. And once again, I'm sitting there numb. I thought, he's a child. He needs to play. He needs to laugh. He needs to run around, throw things. I have to jump up and down with him, dance with him. I found myself over the years, I would pack him a little pack of sandwiches and take him down to the road in Monterey. There's a pirate ship little park there. That was my escape. So I would take him there and I'd play with him for hours and hours and hours and hours until one, when he would wake up over the weekend. And I would bring him back again and share lunch with him. I did that for a solid 3 years. I did it alone. I was isolated. I wasn't allowed to have friends. He didn't give me money either. So that means I can't go out and buy coffee or make friends because I had no money to go anywhere. Telling the story, it's like I just see an image flash in my head. It doesn't feel like it was me, but it was me. It was me. That was my life. It came to a point where he hit me. And I remember sitting there thinking, I have never once witnessed my father lay a hand on my mum or myself, for that matter. And yet I am sitting here and I'm hurt and I have no one to protect me. I had no family. I had no one to run to. I had no one to speak to. So I prayed. So this is my testimony. This is where it begins. I prayed. And in my prayer, I asked him, Lord, if this man is for me, then find a way that we can get along and we can raise our child in peace. If it is not, rescue me. It was midnight. I prayed this at midnight. He was asleep. I prayed to a point where I broke down crying. And because I was crying so much, I snuck out to the balcony and in the corner of the balcony where you can't see me. And I sat there with my knees bent and I prayed yet again. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And within weeks, out of nowhere, he'd come to me and said, I do not love you. I would like to separate. And as much as it broke my heart being in a country where I actually had no family and anywhere to run to, I knew that was my escape. That was my escape. Within 2 weeks, he moved me out. I had my own apartment. And the first thing I bought was towels. And if anyone knows me, I'm obsessed with towels. I'm like a little old lady. I also love tea towels because for me, those towels and tea towels signify a home, my home. It was in that moment where I felt, hold on, I am now an actual adult. I am a woman. I have my own home, and I have my lovely own collection of towels. To this day, for Christmas, please buy me towels. It makes me feel at home. For a long time, I felt there was a spirit that followed me, that every man that I spoke to that ever gave me a compliment, there was a hidden agenda behind it. Every man that tried to comfort me, I felt there was a hidden agenda behind it. For that reason, I refused to speak to men. I will acknowledge you. Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. But I will walk away. I won't stay long enough to give you a conversation because I don't want to open my heart to allow it to be hurt. But I'm standing here and I have got some amazing brothers in my life who are in this church, our pastor. I've got Jerry and Rocky. And I've got all your other men in this church that I call brothers as well. I can hug you without fear. I can have you hold my hand and pray for me. And I will accept that prayer. I will not stand there, feel defeated and defensive. I will not second guess your prayer to me. And I did that for the longest possible time. Any man that laid his hand on me and prayed, I would hear the words, but I was always on a defense. I was always very, very defensive. And now I can accept prayer. I can accept well wishes. I can even accept a compliment. I don't like compliments, but I can now. I kind of half hoped my son would be here today. He's not. He's at his dad's. Because I want you all to know me as who I am now. I am victorious. I was very much a victim. I was genuinely, heartbrokenly destroyed, a victim. But I found the time to pray, and it was through that prayer, in my head, in my heart, in my surroundings, that he heard me. And that last song that they sang, I prayed for that this morning. I actually prayed for that song this morning. I wrote out something to say, and that went out the window, obviously. But the hardest thing being a victim of domestic violence is the silence. It's the shame. You're ashamed to speak out because you don't want people to judge you. Oh, the happy little married couple looking at you, and every time they see sorrow in your face, they're going, what's going on with you? See, all of this is in your head. You feel judged and you feel shame, but it shouldn't be like that. That's why we're in church. Find someone, just one single person that you can sit down and open your heart to. I tried to avoid it, and then I ended up in my GP's office, and he said, hey, Barbara, have you tried counseling? I said, no, I am a strong woman. I do not need counseling. I am a happy, bubbly person. I most definitely do not need counseling. You know what he did? He referred me to this little place in Rockdale. So I hid from it. I genuinely hid from it. And then I got sent straight back to my church. I ended up in a women's counseling group. And I did one session. Just one. And for the first time in my life, I started my story from an 8-year-old girl to a 27-year-old woman back then. Telling my story, and it took that one moment for me to open my heart and speak out everything that I felt, that I felt this massive weight lift off my shoulder. I could breathe. And we've had this line probably said a million times and more, but I swear, if you just open your mouth and speak, it only takes one person to hear you. One person to hear you. It takes one person to pray for you. It takes you to want to be prayed for and to be healed. It takes him. He's always there. Even when we feel defeated, even when we feel somewhat sheltered, or in my case, I just close myself off everyone and I refuse to talk to anybody about it. He hears you. And you, most of the times, it doesn't feel like you're being hurt. But one day you will wake up and you will know that he heard you. Because everything falls into place and you feel this immense peace in your heart. There is absolutely no offensive word that you could speak to me right now that would actually offend me. I kind of laugh through it now. It just, if you told me, I know, especially this week, someone said to me, you're a single mom. It was meant to be offensive. I laughed. I'm like, you're right, actually, I have a single mom. What is your point? So that kind of thing, it doesn't offend me anymore. I can stand and talk about it without crying. I'll probably cry later, but I can talk about my experience more now because I'm in a good place now. I am 37 years old, and I can finally stand up and say, I am victorious. I am no longer a victim, and it only took one person, one prayer. So that is my testimony. It's a short, brief one, but that is my testimony. Please, if you feel the need to speak to someone, there is a lot of people here, just one person. And if you want to just stay away from basically your family and friends, there's always the counseling services that we provide. Just find some time to sit down and talk to someone, and we will walk you through it. We are all, every single one, more than happy to walk you through it. Thank you.
What a beautiful lady she is. We love Barbara. She's very special to us. She's incredibly brave and she's been through so much, and it was awesome for her to share her story with us this morning. I love that she got referred to our Rockdale Centre. Isn't that cool? So awesome. Oh, by the way, this is Jo. Jo, would you mind standing up? This is Jo. So she will be available if anyone needs to debrief or talk to anyone. So our mission as a church, does everyone know our church mission? Does anyone know our church mission? It's on our website if you want to have a look. And it says that Jesus is our passion and his word is our pattern for life. We see discipleship as our commission and social justice our responsibility. Is that awesome? Psalm 82:3 makes it really plain that as a church we are to defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy, and deliver them from the hands of the wicked. And I love that as a church, that's our mandate, and that's what we do, and that's what we're about. And domestic violence is our responsibility. Absolutely it is. It is a twisted view of God's intention for marriage and family. In 1975, domestic violence was defined and acknowledged through the Family Law Court as a violent crime against a family member, causing fear by means of threat, power, control, and it does not discriminate. As Pastor Andrew said earlier, it doesn't discriminate regardless of race, religion, socioeconomic status. It doesn't discriminate. It's everywhere. And you know, there are absolutely no verses in the Bible that condone domestic violence. Absolutely nothing. In fact, to the contrary, it is made clear that God hates violence in relationships. Relationships must be driven by selflessness, grace, and love. That's our God. That's who he is. The doctrine that is most commonly and controversially cited by abusers is male headship, where a husband is to be the head of the wife in marriage and the wife is to submit. And men are to be the head of the church. This is not unlike gender inequality amongst the world out there, amongst the unsaved, that stereotyping women as the weaker sex while the men dominate. So can you see the similarity? So basically, there's so many causes of domestic violence, but it comes down to a wrong perspective or thinking around the headship of men and what that actually really means. This type of teaching of headship has been seen to be contributing to the problem of domestic violence, both encouraging abusive male partners and preventing female partners from challenging abusive behaviours or leaving in an abusive relationship, thinking they should actually put up with it. So not only does it encourage, but it also sends a message to the abused that it's okay, you have to put up with this. This is your lot. As a woman, this is how it is for you. Christians often say that it is guilt, the guilt of going against this teaching or belief, that leads them to stay in relationships way beyond a time they should leave, because they are trying to please God as well as please their partners. They often feel that they will have to choose between leaving their faith or the violence. How you doing, church? Are we okay? However, headship according to God's word is a form of self-sacrificial love. And while it does say in Ephesians 5:22-23, wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its saviour. So it goes beyond just wives submit to your husbands, right? Ephesians 5:25 goes on to say, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And in verse 28, in the same way, husbands, you ought to love their husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. That makes sense, right? After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. So I often say, like, you know, to women that sit in my counseling room and you know, they'll say things like, oh, if only I had been a better wife, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. It's like, no, it doesn't matter what you do, he does not love himself. And so the problem isn't with you, it's with him. Amen? So Paul also notes the church, also notes the church is Christ's body and is himself its Savior, using the analogy husband and wife are one body in Ephesians 5:31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. They are called to live united, serving one another together. It is not about one person being better than the other. Instead, this is mutual submission, which honors God and shows love. Jesus, as part of the Trinity, get this, is identical in essence and equal to God the Father. Yes? And yet he is able to submit without becoming inferior. That is godly submission. Jesus explicitly forbids anyone individual assuming authority over other adults in the Christian community. In Matthew 20:25-28, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what does leadership mean? It means to serve. It means to put others first. It means that we humble ourselves before God and we lay down our lives. That's what leadership means. And that's what women submit to. We submit to servanthood, the laying down of our husband's life, just as Christ laid down his life for us. The cross is good news for both victims and perpetrators of domestic violence. With the cross opens the way for forgiveness. So God is not about condemnation. He's about healing and restoration. And that is not just for the victim, but for the perpetrators as well. And, you know, statistically out there, the number of men that actually take responsibility and acknowledge is really, really low. Sadly, it's really, really low. And, you know, as the body of Christ, we need to be leading the way with that. And, you know, I've had couples that have come to me that have had terrible abusive relationship, but the husband has acknowledged and said, I need help. I'm responsible for this. I need help. And has sought to do so and to get help and take responsibility. But the majority of them, statistics tell us, don't do that. They actually don't acknowledge it. They don't take responsibility, and they keep pointing the finger of blame at everybody else. They blame their jobs. They blame the world. They blame the Prime Minister, they blame the dog, they blame everybody, but they won't take responsibility. And this is where, as a church, you know, God calls us to lead the way. And yes, domestic violence sadly is in the church. It is within the walls of God's house. And so it's really important for us to provide correct teaching and, you know, for men to understand their role firstly as a son of God and then as a husband according to to what God instructs the husbands to do. Now, sorry guys, it's not a man-bashing thing. It might sound a bit like that, but you know, White Ribbon Day is focused on violence against women. We know that there's other types of violence. We recognise that, but violence against women is statistically the most common. Just put that out there. So I felt like it was a bit of a, yeah. How you going? Are we all okay? More? Okay. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we should expect to be able to reshape our own relationships. And to some extent, our culture's view of gender relationships in line with the resurrection life. Amen? So today we know that domestic violence is totally unacceptable under any circumstances. In fact, it's a crime. In our legal system, it's a crime. And there are many forms of domestic violence as well. So can't really go into, or there's so much in and around domestic violence, what it is, what it represents, what the cause, some of the causes are. There's so much information, but you know, obviously for the sake of time, we can't go into all of that today. but as Christians, we know that a godless society breeds godless behavior. Amen? And this is why we believe at Bay City that social justice is our responsibility. Because if the church isn't leading the way and exampling a God-fearing society, then who is going to? Who is going to? So, you know, I want to challenge all of us here today and, you know, people in your life that you know, family, friends, you know, your language is really important. How you speak, how you communicate is really important. The way we talk about the role of a husband and wife. You know, often we hear guys joking around about, you know, the little misses. And you know, it's cool. I'm into jokes. It's, you know, I love having a laugh. But let's just watch our language, guys. Let's watch how we speak about our wives because people are listening. People are listening, and if we talk about them in a way that is respectful and loving, then that's the influence that we're going to project. Amen? In our sphere of influences, in our workplaces and etc. So domestic violence is our responsibility. We are called to be the example in this world and to be about our Father's business and all that it represents. And our Father's business is all about exampling the life of Jesus and what he did for us, laying down his life, servanthood. God's not impressed with a guy who lords it over his wife. He's not impressed with that. God is not a God of abuse. He's not a God of violence. He's a God of love and grace. And it's important for us to understand and to communicate that, you know, the way we perceive scripture, it kind of needs to add up to who our God is. You know what I mean? Like, violence and submission in a violent way is not who God is. It just makes sense, guys. So let's be really diligent in how we respond to Scripture, how we interpret Scripture, and how we communicate to others and those around us. Amen? okay, we've got a very special item for you. So I'm going to ask them to get ready, and just while they're doing that, excuse me, I'm going to come down here out of the way in a minute. Yeah, thank you. So, sorry guys, This item is by the beautiful Emily and her awesome brother, Gab Garcia, and they're just making the way, they're going to get ready. And it just depicts power and control, which is what domestic violence is about, and what it's like to break free from that. Amen. So just while they're setting up, we do have a centre in Rockdale, as Barbara mentioned, and we do, really have a heart through that centre to reach out to women and children experience domestic violence, and we do that through counselling, case management, school programs, group programs, and a whole heap of stuff. And you know what? We operate out of the support of our church. Yeah, it's awesome. We're not funded for what we do with our domestic violence, but we have, we're able to do what we do because God's opened doors and granted us favor through our church and our local community. Everyone's really distracted. Hey, guys. But you know what? We can always use more help and more volunteers down there. So if anyone is interested or would like to come down and help out, even just for a day or a half a day, just answering phone calls and stuff like that, please come and see me. I'm going to be down the back after the service. Or if you just like to come down and have a bit of a look and see what we do down there, I know there's a lot of people probably in the church that haven't seen it. So come on down and visit us. We love having visitors. Okay, I'm 3 days a week, so Monday, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. You can look us up on our website, www.baycitycare.com.au, with all the information. I think they're just about ready, so I'm going to stop talking now.
after all that I've been through, Lord, my focus is on you. Reach out, reach out to you. You will catch me when I fall. You will never shut the door. Reach out, reach out to you. All I need is a helping hand, someone who will understand. Reach out, reach out to you. Even when you've reached your limit, don't give up, 'cause he's not finished. I'll be there to see you through. After all that I've been through, Lord, my focus is on you. Reach out, reach out to you. Reach out, reach out to you.
Beautiful. How powerful was that? How's everyone doing? Hey, I'm going to stay up the front here for a while. If anyone would like to come up just to chat or for prayer, please come on up. I won't do an altar call because I just want to give you your privacy. But, I just want to encourage, you know, if for yourself or if it's someone that you know, come and talk to us. Or Joe, actually. Where's Joe now? Joe's behind me. Yeah. Awesome. Fantastic. I'm going to give it back to Pastor Andrew.
Wow. Isn't that beautiful? We might get the creative team up just... They're all here? Fantastic. What an amazing message. And why don't we stand to our feet right across this place? You know, I think it'd be good if we can just finish on our last worship song just for a moment. And you know, whether you've been affected by something like domestic violence or whether you know someone that is, that's another big area. Amen. And just for a moment in this place, why don't we just worship God? Why don't we just end today's service by just taking some time to worship God in this place and just talk about our, sing about and feel our Father's love in this place. I thank Mona. Come on, give her a hand again. And all the team, what they did. You know, this is a preparation on Sunday, but the amount of work that goes in midweek at our center and what these girls are involved in there is amazing. And I encourage you, if you want to be a part of helping our domestic violence team, we're in desperate need of case managers and other people that can help out. Please go and talk to Joe or Mona afterwards and just say, look, I'd really love to be a part of that and help. But just right now, why don't we worship God just for a moment as we close. Thanks, guys.
Oh, I've heard thousand stories why they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen We're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say your word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Father, we thank you for your perfect love. God, we thank you that it's your love that can heal any heart, any situation. God, there's not a circumstance that's outside of your control and your ability. And God, we thank you, Father God. God, we thank you for the message today, that there is hope in you, God. God, that for those that are trapped in a relationship that's involved in domestic, there is hope, God, for those that we know, God, those around us, God, that we can point them towards the answer, Father God, through you. We thank you for the testimony today. We thank you for your power of your word today, God. And we thank you, God, that we are part of social justice. We are part of standing in the gap for you, God, for standing for the broken, for standing for the abused and those that are captive, God. Thank you that we have a message, Father God. It's your gospel, and it's also to release those that accept captive, God. And God, I thank you for everyone that's involved in it. I thank you for our team in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you for your spirit and your presence that's here. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Don't we give the Lord a hand in this place? Beautiful. And once again, look, Mona is going to be down the front here. If you need to talk to someone, please do. And but God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. I think we've got some special out there in the cafe around White Ribbon Sunday as well. So hang around for a coffee, cafe latte. God bless you, church.